Monday, February the 8th. It's odd how you can be so anesthetized by your own pain or your own problem that you don't quite fully share the hell of someone close to you.
Dear
Lyndon has been facing the agony of hour-to-hour decisions in a situation deadly close to a spreading war. And I have just been living to get through an interview with U.S. News and World Report on Monday morning, February the 8th, so that I knew but didn't deeply share his predicament. Well, everything comes and goes, and so did this interview. When it began at 11 o'clock, I was curiously calm and fatalistic. I read a whole straw bag full of information on highway planting and city planning, park maintenance and mental health, and the way beautification ties in with the poverty program through the use of low-grade skills, as well as thinking back through all my life to decide why I should really be so interested in it. For examples of what it means to me personally, this importance of beautification to our nation. And then I walked into the treaty room. There was Mr. Sutherland, who looked rather like Yul Brynner, and about five more people. We sat around poor Andrew Johnson's cabinet table, and they asked me questions. There was a tape recorder and a stenographer, and this lasted for about 2 hours. Sometimes feeling I'd pulled out a true thought dressed in rather fresh and interesting language, and sometimes quite sure I was rambling, disjointed, and dull. And then it was over, and Bess and I had lunch, talked about the mail, which is getting voluminous. There were more than 3,500 letters the last week in January. The moral is, don't get sick. And, of course, Lucy's mail is running about 5-1 above Linda's, much of it on the Catholic instructions, and angrily hostile. I called the Leonard Marxes and the Warren Woodwards and the Paul Popples and the Marvin Watsons to see if they could come over and swim with me. When the day was done, knowing full well that some of the men wouldn't be through work. And then Stu Udall came over about 5:30, and we had about an hour's session on the agenda, a beautification meeting next Thursday. And then down to the pool, Marion Watson and Leonard Marks, Dorothy's sick, the Paul Popples and Mary Ellen Woodward, Woody to join us as soon as his plane gets in, to do 20 laps in the pool, soak up the relaxation, wish that Lyndon were doing likewise, and have a good drink and hors d'oeuvres while we shared experiences about the inaugural, and I had a chance to tell each of them how happy they'd made a lot of people. I really couldn't think of but one mad member of Congress and only one mad constituent, and he was really more humorous than mad. It's obvious that Woody is enjoying the prestige and affluence of his job with American Airlines. Dear Marvin never did make it, no surprise to anybody. So when everyone left, I took Marion upstairs with me to wait for her husband, got her settled with some scrapbooks, and just insisted that she wait for him and have dinner with us. Marvin is the most consistently good-humored person I know. That, combined with brains and heart, make him somebody we need very much in our operation, and I want to let his wife know they are appreciated and enjoyed. Our husbands finally came over at 10:45. I'd been reading a ton of beautification mail in between. And then we had a good Baptist blessing and dinner and to bed.